and welcome to today's class. My name is Nitesh Verma. Today we're going to talk about how to manage project vendors. Managing project vendors is an important element when it comes to end-to-end project management, because usually some or at times a lot of the activities, be it IT, customer service, or even non-IT processes, have to be outsourced to third-party service providers, whom we call vendors. That's what we will go to talk about today. So how do we manage these project vendors? What are the key aspects, the activities that are required, and what are the responsibilities when we manage vendors? So chapter one is an introduction to the basic concepts in outsourcing and vendor management. VMO stands for Vendor Management Office. So what are the basic concepts when we outsource a business process or one function of our entire business to a third-party service provider? Why do we outsource? What do we look into when we try to select a service provider or a vendor? So how do we manage these vendors? That's what we will talk about today. So who is a vendor? What do we understand by the term vendor or a service provider? So a vendor is any person, an individual, or a company that sells goods or services to someone else in the economic process chain. So vendors could be someone who is providing goods or even services. So anybody who is selling desktop computers to your organization, even he is a vendor. Compared to someone who is providing you an annual maintenance contract for the desktop computers, even that company or individual is a vendor. So a vendor is anyone who would sell goods and services to someone else. So it's a third party, an individual or a corporate, it's a third party entity that carries out some business functions for your organization. So that person or that company is what we call as a vendor, or in terms of services, it's a service provider, a term usually used for IT outsourcing or even in business process outsourcing. So what is outsourcing? We understand what is vendor. What is outsourcing? Outsourcing in simple terms is hiring a third party to carry out some or more than one internal business functions of your business. That is what is outsourcing is. So instead of having your own employees or the business owner himself or the internal team carrying out certain activities, some third-party vendor or service provider is given the responsibility of carrying out or processing those particular activities or steps. That's what outsourcing is in a nutshell. So outsourcing is the contracting out of a business process to a third party, or as we often call it, to a vendor. So a vendor is not an internal resource, it's a third party resource. And it could either be someone selling products, goods, or someone providing services to the organization. So vendor management need is being driven largely by governance, risk, and compliance obligations. Now, every business has to meet certain obligations and standards. It could be industry regulations, it could be certain government policies, business risks associated with a particular process, and even customer specifications. So all these need to be considered when we outsource or we give a third-party entity responsibility of carrying out some important business functions for our own organization. So vendor management becomes the key here to how do we manage right from the selection of the vendors to the contractual negotiations and the entire performance delivery and management. So there are three main concepts of outsourcing: logic, perils, and gains, the LPGs of outsourcing. So all these three, now when you, for any activity, for any business decision, you would have pros and cons, you would have risks and rewards, and so does outsourcing. So outsourcing has its own gains, there's a logic of why we outsource, and there are certain perils of outsourcing as well. So what are these LPGs? It's what we will discuss next. So the LPG of outsourcing, let's first look at the logic of outsourcing. The logic of outsourcing means, why do we outsource? What is the need to outsource? And the primary business reason why outsourcing started at a large scale is cost reduction. Achieving the same quality of work and the same quantity of work at a reduced cost of operations. That was the primary reason why companies and even governments have now accepted outsourcing as one of the key business strategies. So cost reductions such as costs related to hiring of employees, their training, taxes, etc. So once you outsource, for example, if you are into IT outsourcing and you outsource one of your software development projects to a third-party vendor, there you will only be paying for the software development project. You would not have to worry or invest into hiring software developers, training them, and other taxes associated with hiring and maintaining and retaining a workforce. So here you only pay for the work done. Once the project is over, you stop paying for those software developers. So that's where outsourcing helps you reduce cost of operations. Focus on core competency. So for a particular business, for example, banks. Now banks, the core competency of banks are the financial transactions. How do they manage the money that is invested in banks by the investors? Savings accounts, fixed deposits, current accounts, loans that they provide. Managing the IT network of the banks is not their core competence. So if banks start managing the entire IT network and infrastructure themselves, they'll have to invest in hiring resources, training them, retaining them, supervising them, which is not the core competency of banking professionals. So if a bank outsources the entire IT process to a third-party vendor, one, it allows them to reduce the cost of IT operations. Second, they can now focus on their core business function, which is banking, be it deposits, loans. So they can focus on that rather than spending time, effort, and resources on managing the entire IT network of the banking system. That's what outsourcing allows you. Then, rather than try and make you buy someone else's specialty. Now, as a third-party IT service provider, a company or a vendor would be working on multiple projects for multiple organizations. So they would have certain specialties which, as a business owner, your team would not have, because that's not your specialty. So here you get the opportunity to hire someone who has the know-how, who has the expertise, and has done that a process or task or activity before as well. So rather than you try and make and reinvent the wheel, you hire someone, an individual or a corporate, who already has the potential, who already has the expertise, who already has the know-how. So this allows you an optimum utilization of internal resources, because again, the internal resources are now more focused on carrying out the core business functions rather than spending time on supporting functions like IT or customer service or recruitment. So it could be any other support activities. But now, once we outsource carefully, and how do we do that? We'll talk about that as well. So these are different reasons on why we outsource, the logic of outsourcing. Let's look at the next important ingredient, the perils of outsourcing. So what could be the disadvantages of outsourcing? One, lack of business know-how. Once we outsource a function to a third-party provider, the third-party vendor or the service provider carries out those business functions. So the internal team does not have the complete know-how of how the entire business process is being delivered. So this is one disadvantage where you lose control of how the business process is implemented.
So once you outsource an important function of your business, it could be a support function, but it's important for the overall organization. So outsourcing ensures that you lose some amount of control on the entire business process that has been outsourced. Now, how much control do we lose, and how do we still manage to control the business function or the process is why vendor management becomes important. So we'll talk about how do we ensure that we do not lose control of the business function and the vendor or the service provider is held accountable for the performance, the deliverables as well. And they also meet the compliance, governance, and quality standards. Again, subdued employee morale. These are outsourced employees. They are not directly working for your organization. And difficult to exit. Because once you outsource some important support functions, for example, IT functions, there is a certain element of reliability that we develop on the vendor. They have been carrying out the important functions for the business. Now, it's difficult after you've outsourced it for a certain period of time to get it back and have your internal resources carry out the same activities, because then you have some investment in hiring people, again training them, and the internal team, which would be comparatively new, delivering the same quality standard which the vendor was delivering. Or if you want to select a new vendor, again there is an element of risk. So once you are in an outsourced relationship, it becomes difficult to exit that entire outsourcing arrangement. So these are some perils, some disadvantages of outsourcing. But like any business decision, the rewards need to outweigh the risks involved in a particular process. And that's what vendor management or strategic outsourcing is all about. Let's look at the gains of outsourcing. So we've discussed the logic of outsourcing on why do we outsource. We've seen the disadvantages of outsourcing where we lose some control. What are the gains? One, we get access to the latest and greatest in technology. Coming back to the same example of a banking industry, a bank would be updated with what's new in banking. What are the new processes? What are the new practices? So how to deliver the best banking products in terms of loans or deposits or mutual funds to a customer. But a bank would not be updated with what's happening new in technology compared to a specialist technology firm. So here, if a bank hires or outsources the business function to a third-party information technology company, they get ready access to latest and the most updated technology that's available. Cost savings, we've already discussed this, because here, as an organization, you only pay for the amount of work done. You do not pay for employees sitting idle. You do not pay for downtimes. You do not pay for disruptions. Again, you pay at times for a certain standard of performance delivered. So here you have cost savings. High quality staff, again, trained staff, staff with previous proven expertise and specialization. That's what you get if we select the right vendor most suited for the job that we are looking for. Job security and burnout for regular employees. So they don't get, there's not a burnout, because your internal resources now get to focus on the core business activities rather than spending time and effort on support activities. You have greater flexibility because you can select multiple vendors. You can have processes to exercise control on the vendors. So there are different contractual negotiations that allow you that flexibility. Now, how do we do that? So we've discussed the logic, the disadvantages, the perils, and the gains, the LPGs of outsourcing or the LPGs of vendor management. So how do we ensure that we deliver the best vendor management, ensuring that the standards in terms of governance parameters, business risks, or quality standards, be it industry regulations or be it customer specifications, how do we meet those? So the first decision, as we've been discussing, is hire or outsource. So now you know that, okay, when it comes to outsourcing, just like any other decision that we make, especially important and strategic business decisions, there are risks and rewards. So we need to look at the risks and rewards associated with outsourcing the IT function of your business. Well, this holds true even for non-IT functions, or something like a customer service, to important things like normal data entry, or even your sales functions. So you need to look at the risks and rewards, the logic, the perils, and the gains of when you are trying to make a decision on whether you hire or outsource, or even when you decide to outsource, what should be your outsourcing strategy? Who would be the right vendor for your outsourcing requirements? So first you need to look and assess the risks and rewards, the gains and the disadvantages associated with your outsourcing decision. Then you need to manage the working relationship with the service provider. So how do you manage the working relationship? So now once we have seen why do we outsource, the logic of outsourcing, disadvantages or the perils of outsourcing, and the gains of outsourcing, first decision is, do we hire or do we outsource? So when it comes to hiring or outsourcing, both have their own advantages and disadvantages, the risk and the rewards. So you need to look and assess the risk and the rewards associated with your decision to either hire or outsource the IT function of your business. Well, this would hold true even for the non-IT functions or business processes that you would decide to outsource. Now, once we have outsourced, we need to be managing the working relationship with the service provider. How do we ensure that the vendor or the service provider delivers as per the contractual terms that we had agreed to? Be it in terms of timeliness, be it in terms of meeting certain standards of quality and compliance. And even how the vendor, if they have to, interact with your end customer. So does the vendor and your company send out a unified message to the customer? So it's important to manage the working relationship, and there are different processes and practices on how do we manage the entire working relationship with a vendor or a service provider. In-house development has certain benefits which we already know, the most important being we have complete control when we have an in-house development team. However, that usually comes with higher costs, and you have to allocate your internal resources at times to non-core business functions. So here again, you have to see what's more important or what's more rewarding for your organization, because outsourcing support is more cost effective. As we discussed, we usually only pay for the work delivered, and at times even when the work is of a certain quality. So hence it becomes more cost effective. Now, outsourced IT support gives greater exposure to a larger bank of expertise. So compared to one organization where IT is not the main or the core function, you would have only a set of people with the required skills. But when you outsource a third-party IT organization, they and their teams would have worked on multiple projects, projects which require higher levels of skills and technical know-how. So once we outsource, we get exposure and access to the greater skills, the newest and the latest in technology that is available to carry out our business processes. So again, in-house, outsource, both have their own pros and cons. It's a business decision, and it's again case to case. What works best for the company, what works best for the project, depending upon the scale and the requirements and the specifications that you would need to meet. So what are the different activities when we talk about outsourcing? One, sourcing, then you would have procurement, and the most important is the vendor management. So you've identified the vendor, you procure the products, the goods or the services. You also need to manage the vendor. As we discussed, you need to manage the working relationships. Let's look at sourcing. So what does sourcing comprise of? One, you need to have a sourcing strategy with risk management. As discussed, when you decide to outsource, you would have rewards, but there would be certain risk elements as well. So how do you manage that risk? Do you have a risk mitigation plan? The spend analysis. It is cost effective. However, if not planned properly, you may be spending on a substandard quality of services, which eventually would lead to a higher cost. There's a cost to poor quality as well, because there will be rework, there will be defects, there will be customer complaints and customer churn. So you need to have a spend analysis also in terms of who do you hire or who do you outsource it to. If you're procuring goods, you compare the quotation from different vendors, even in terms of services as well. Then you manage the entire demand of supply, demand management, supplier qualification. So which vendor supplies to work for your outsourcing requirement? So even when you decide to outsource to a vendor, your entire process would have a qualification criteria. So only if a vendor meets certain qualification criteria and parameters would they be considered for the job. Managing contracts. How do you manage the contracts right from negotiation to the service level agreements? And then, what are the control mechanisms to ensure that the terms set in the agreement are being met and delivered by your outsourced vendor? After sourcing, we have procurement. So procurement, one is need identification. Why do we need to outsource or buy goods and services from a third party? And then again, different parameters associated with buying a particular product and service. Requisition management, you can have tenders, you have government tenders. So how do you manage the requisition from different third party vendors or service providers? Purchase order creation and approval. Approval from your stakeholders and board of directors or senior management. Delivery coordination, delivery of goods or services, goods receipts, and the payment authorization. So the entire procurement cycle chain. And then comes vendor management. So vendor classification, the type of vendor, be it related to someone supplying goods or someone delivering services to your organization or for the project. Performance management, again, this is important because it's important that the vendor or the service provider meets certain quality standards and as well as adheres to industry regulations and compliance parameters. Relationship management. How does your organization or your team work and collaborate with the vendor? Be it interacting with the end customer or passing out inputs to a different business function. So anything, but how do you manage the entire working relationship? And then again, supplier risk and compliance. It's very important. So does the supplier or the vendor have equal measures to ensure that they are compliant to one, industry regulations, government policies, customer specifications, and the contract as well. You would have contractual terms as well, which they need to comply to. So these are different activities that comprise outsourcing. Sourcing, procurement, and vendor management. Now, these three are different activities, but are interrelated to each other. So an important aspect of strategic vendor management is how do we collaborate the three functions, procurement, sourcing, and vendor management. Rather than these three functions or these three teams working in silos or working separately, working without collaborating with each other, the idea or the goal or the objective is to move into a collaborative function where all these three activities are carried out by a centralized team. Or there's a collaboration between the different teams carrying out these three important activities when it comes to outsourcing or hiring a third-party vendor or service provider for your business. So moving from these three activities working in silos or separately to working together as a unit is where the vendor management office comes into picture. So a vendor management office would be where there's an entire governance structure so that these three important activities collaborate and you have shared goals and objectives for each of these three important activities for the entire outsourcing value chain: procurement, sourcing, and vendor management.